And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today we're going to have a volume of secrets. Secrets. This is volume 225. Can you believe that? And of course, on each volume, we have a number of news items and reports and secrets and disclosures that just never seem to make it to the mainstream press. Of course, the mainstream press is getting more bizarre and insane and outrageous. But when they tell you things, they cast their little spin on it, don't they? They spin it around and make you think that black is white and white is black. Well, we just tell you which direction is up. In other words, if you know what God wants you to know, then you'll understand the truth. But if you don't know what God wants you to know, you're going to be one confused person. You know, it's been described to me as confused as a termite and a yo-yo. That seems sort of, you know, interesting. A termite in a yo-yo. Can you imagine how confused he is? He goes in there to eat the wood. He's stuck in there, but he thinks he's got a firm foundation, but he's going up and down, up and down, up and down all the time. And that's the way most people are today. You know, the Apostle Paul called them intellectuals, so-called. Intellectuals, so-called. For example, the Pope of Rome. Pope, what is his name now? They've changed so much recently. There was Pope John and then Pope Benedict, and now there's Pope Francis from Argentina, a Jesuit. He's in there now, and he's another one of the smiling kind of popes, but he's he's got some strange ideas. For example, he recently said that, you know, one of the biggest problems in the world today is global warming. Now, we've had over 18 years of global cooling. See, the global warming people thought that pull one over on all of us because they're going to get very, very rich. The billionaires of this world are going to, and they're going to make a mint with this so-called carbon emissions tax and all that. And boy, they've got it waiting in the way. And they've been so angry because all they really needed was just a couple of years of warming. You know, maybe the average temperature be maybe half a degree or 1 degree warmer. You know, you really couldn't perceive it at all. I mean, one day it's 98, next day it's 97. You really can't feel it, but they can show you their statistics. They see there, oh, the whole world is going, I mean, the seas of the world are going to flood everyone in all of the West Coast and the East Coast of the United States is going to be covered with water, and all of the islands in Hawaii and American Fiji and Samoa, they're all going to be covered with water, and you know, everything's going to change, and all the polar bears are going to drown. And, and I mean, they got all the kids crying in all the elementary schools all over the world. Woo-hoo, mommy, daddy, polar bears are going to drown. What are we going to do about it? But for 18 straight years, according to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's own statistics, we've gotten a little cooler. 18. It's like God says, I'm going to teach you dumb boys a lesson. You've been trying to deceive all these good people. And instead of, I'm not even going to give you a couple years of global warming. I'm going to give you 18 straight years of global cooling. Well, now they thought, you know, we're just about to lose this, so We got to go into overtime here. We got to get on our bicycles and really start pedaling. And so our president, Barack Obama, he went down to the Coast Guard Academy, gave the commencement address just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, the greatest military threat in America, in the whole world, is global warming. And then they sit, you know, in their nice, cool, starched uniforms, looking at him quizzically. Now, these men were 22, 23 years of age, graduating. You know, when you're 22 or 23, you can be deceived by a lot of things. And they have a curricula there, and all of the military academies, they've ordered that they start teaching global warming. If you go to the Air Force Academy, you're going to learn global warming. Now, if you go to class one day and say, sir, I'd like to know about this global warming that I had to study for this test, because there have been 18 straight years of global cooling, they would have said, don't look straight ahead, fella. Look to your left, look to your right, but don't look straight ahead. Forget the global cooling. This is just a pause. I know it's been 18 years straight, but it's only a pause. We're going to go back to global warming. Well, you know, folks, I suspect there will be a year or two of global warming. There has to be. Because all weather cycles are cycles. You know, one year you get heavy snow, and the next year it's a little bit less. Next year, it might be warmer, it might be cooler. I mean, here in Austin, Texas, we haven't had any ice and snow for, goodness, I think it's been about 20 years. But, you know, it'll come back. Now, we don't get much snow here, but every 5 or 6 years, the kids have a couple of days in which they can build a snowman. But they have to do it quick because the snow's going to be melted in a couple hours. Now, that's Texas. I know in your area, if you're in Montana or Utah or somewhere, it's, you know, you can actually go up and go snow skiing. We could never snow ski here. Not at all. We'd run into a cacti. That'd hurt. But we expect, you know, one year the lake is sort of dry because we've got a drought. The next year, of course, the lake, everybody's, it's flooding everybody. In fact, we had some recent floods here. They said it was epic, historical. Well, it really was. It was the worst flooding for about, I think, in about 20 or 30 years. But it'll come back. About 30 years from now, there'll be more flooding. They'll say, epic, historical. And that's what they do. I was turning on TV recently, and they had the greatest boxing match in history. I forget their names now. And they say it didn't strike me at all. I think it was the Pacquiao from the Philippines and Mayweather, the foul-mouthed guy from Las Vegas who calls himself Money. They were going to fight each other. They said, the fight of the century. Well, now, 3 or 4 years ago, they had a fight, and they called that the fight of the century. Then about 10 years ago, there was another fight, and they said, this is the fight of the century. It seems that every few years, they have another fight of the century. Have you ever noticed that? And I see that in every case. You know, this guy is the greatest actor in the history of show business. Well, that's strange because 3 years ago you introduced us to another guy who was the greatest actor in the, you know, this is just human hyperbole. It's the way, you know, you blow up things. You use propaganda. You know how it's done. In any case, global warming. Our president actually said it. He's told the Coast Guard graduating class, this is the biggest problem. This is it. I mean, more than ISIS, more than the Middle East, more than anything. I mean, more than World War II. I mean, we got a real problem here. It could get hot. Oh, man. Well, the Pope was enlisted, too. They must have gone to see him and said, Your Holiness, that's what they call him, you know. Your Holiness, we got to get you on board. You got to start talking about this, too, or else we're sunk. People are going to forget all about global warming. You know, we just made it up about 30 years ago, just started out, and now they're going to go to global cooling or something else. We got to get them back thinking about global warming. So the Pope comes out with a big statement. Now he believes in it. He's going to actually have a big conference. He's going to have a conference. I forget where it's at now, maybe in the Vatican or somewhere. But all the big poobahs, all the big blowhards, I call them, of global warming are going to be there. They're all going to wring their hands and tell us, oh, how terrible it is. We got global warming. Now, actually, I've got some books here in my library that warn about global warming. They're dated, let's see, one's 1976. It says by 1990, the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, will have taken California, Washington, Oregon, and it will sit very near Las Vegas. Now, you know, that was 1990. It's supposed to have happened. global warming was supposed to cause the oceans to come up. Then here I've got another book, and this book is dated 1981. It says, by the year 2000, almost every island in the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans will be inundated with water. No more Cuba. No more Hawaii. Even Japan, Indonesia will be underwater through global warming. Now, friends, that was 15 years ago. It didn't happen, did it? You know, that's why the New Testament says of Jesus coming, no man knows the day nor hour. Now, they make fun of people. If you say, well, I think Jesus is going to come next year or 5 years from now. If you name a date, they'll make fun of you. In fact, if you just say Jesus is coming again, Jesus is going to return, the whole world will make fun of you. But that same world will stare you in the face and just insist that the whole world will end in years such and such if we don't stop global warming. Don't you know? All the scientists have gotten together. They say that by the year 2025, the whole world will end if we don't stop global warming right now. It's imperative. You've got to enlist. You've got to take money out of your billfold. You got to pay an extra $5,000 for your home. You got to pay an extra $6,000 for your automobile. You can't be paying $400 for a lawnmower. You got to pay $2,000. We got to take this money. We got to use it for global warming. It's so ridiculous. They're chicken littles. Chicken littles. Just opening their mouths and the world's going to end. And I just laugh at them. Don't laugh. It's serious. It's serious stuff. I mean, some of them have doctorate degrees. Of course, a lot of them are just housewives or whatever. The world's going to end. Global warming. Oh, my. Well, listen, folks. The Pope is wrong. President Obama is wrong to use the vernacular, to use a very, very bad word, but very accurate. Obama and Pope Francis are just jackasses. And they want to make you into a dummy jackass. Why don't you write him a letter? Say, you know, I was listening to Tex Mars on the radio, and he said that you're a jackass. And I believe you're a jackass about this global warming. Now, listen, I think I deserve a medal for this. Because when they started saying this some 20 or 30 years ago, I told you then it was all poppycock, nonsense. Some didn't believe me. How can it be nonsense? Scientist ABC told us. Well, scientist ABC is dead, and he's been proven wrong. Now the Pope says it. Now the President of the United States says it. They're going to be wrong too. Well, here's something that's very interesting. You know, some years ago, when they began to open up this Pandora's box of same-sex marriage, we thought it was sort of ridiculous. Didn't you, folks? Amusing, but rather ridiculous. Well, now it's gone so far that not only can a man marry a man and a woman marry a woman in most jurisdictions in the United States. I mean, folks, even Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg conducted a marriage, a same-sex marriage. Well, now here's, this is too much. It seems that Norman MacArthur and Bill Novak, who were father and son, though not biologically, get that? Though not biologically, will soon be husband and wife. Or maybe it could be reversed. Now get that. The pair, both in their 70s, have been together as partners. They registered in New York as domestic partners in 1994. Well, then they moved to Pennsylvania where they, you know, they decided that Novak would adopt MacArthur. Now, they were about 55 years old in 2000 at the time. 55 years old, living together as two gay men, but one adopted the other as his son. So you have a father and son situation. And the courts allowed that. Well, now they've decided to tie the knot in marriage. But the problem is the Pennsylvania law does not permit marriage between parents and children and their father and son. You can't marry your own son. Father can't marry a son. But we're same sex. We want to be married. Well, you can't because you're father and son. So there they had a problem. Oh, my. Well, evidently they've got the legislature of Pennsylvania to agree with them. This is an odd situation. And they're going to stay father and son and yet become husband and wife. But they're two men. Whatever happened to the American family? You know, just the old American family. A husband, a wife, a kid or two. Instead, you got two gay men living together. One of them adopting the other, becoming a father and a son. Then they get married to their parents that are married to each other. I guess they're parents. Well, one is a son. Well, I could go through this, the father's petition to vacate the adoption decree and blah, blah, blah. But it's just ridiculous, isn't it? The gays have torn up marriage in America. Now, just last week, Shoreline Church of Austin, one of the biggest churches here, it's a charismatic church, had a problem. Now, they first, some time ago, decided that gays could be a part of their church. So gay men and gay women started coming, holding hands and kissing and sitting in the pews, and that was okay, according to the church. But then these two gay men decided they wanted to become parents. So they went out and adopted a little boy. Two gay men raising a little boy. Now, that's just sacrilege right there. But they told the church, we've adopted this little boy, and we want the church to bless it. Yes, we want the church to have a ceremony and bring us all up, we three as a family, and wish us well. We want them to confirm what we've done. I guess you could call it a confirmation. We want you to lay hands on us and tell God how wonderful it is for us to have this little boy. Well, the church sort of, you know, slid back and forth, but finally they said, okay, we'll do it. And they've done it now. Shoreline Church. Friends, across America, hundreds of churches are doing similar things. And they're apologizing to the gays. In fact, this church, Shoreline, has apologized to this gay couple. Because at first they told them, we'll give you a ceremony, but it won't be in the main chapel. It'll be in a sort of a subsidiary off to the side. Now they've changed their mind. It's going to be in the main chapel with everybody there. And they have apologized to the gay couple for ever deciding that it would be in a secondary chapel. Oh, my. Well, let's skip to something else. Get off the subject of gay marriage. By the way, I don't care what the Supreme Court does. I don't care what state after state does, or nation after nation. I know that God will never approve gay marriage. He says he won't. Over and over in the Old and New Testament. Some folks say it's not in the New Testament. Well, you just haven't read the Bible for yourself. Of course it is. It's called an abomination. People who do it are called reprobates. Now, you can do it if you want to, but you're still going to be a reprobate. God's not going to change his mind just because you want him to. God's not going to say, okay, it was wrong, but now it's okay. He's not going to say that. And any pastor that changes his mind thinking that God's going to go along with it because he changed his mind, is sorely mistaken. You've gone berserk. You have. You've gone berserk. You, as they say, gone wild. You've left the field of Christianity. You know, I was recently reading about Christopher Hitchens. Now, Christopher Hitchens was an atheist. Well known in politics, he was a Britishman. Wrote a number of books. Pretty interesting books. He wrote one book, though, and says, you know, that, you know, God does not exist, and here's why. He was an atheist. But he was interviewed by a Methodist bishop one time. And the Methodist bishop wanted to sort of curry favor with Christopher Hitchens. And he said, Mr. Hitchens, I believe a lot like you do. You're an atheist. Well, I'm a Methodist pastor, he said. He said, I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I don't believe that Jesus was resurrected. I don't believe that Jesus was born in the first place to a virgin. I deny all the miracles of Jesus found in the Bible. You and I are very close together, he said, because you don't believe those things either. And Hitchens looked at him, and he said, well, Bishop, it seems that we do agree on those things. But I must say, I am an atheist. I am an honest person. You're a dishonest person because you claim to be a Christian. Now, I respect a Christian, he said, who does believe in all those things. But you don't. Why do you call yourself a Christian? You're not a Christian. You don't believe in any of the standards of the faith. Now, the Methodist pastor liked to, well, it just almost shrunk, withered away right there on the spot. I think God, I mean, God cannot allow anybody to bring you up short, friends. I wonder about these pastors who go to nightclubs and see these, have these women who do lap dances, or these black pastors who are actually gays, flamboyant gays, and they take little boys on road trips and do terrible things to them. And I mean, how do they continue to call themselves pastors? Do you remember when the guy from down in New Orleans, what was his name? My goodness, I forget his name now. That shows you, he's just gone right out of my mind. But he's one of the biggest names in Christendom, charismatic. Swaggart. Yeah, Jimmy Swaggart. He was seeing this prostitute in cheap motel rooms. And then he'd just go the next Sunday and preach to to a huge audience on TV. Didn't he have any shame? Wasn't he red-faced about meeting with that prostitute? How could he do such a thing? And then go and preach all about Jesus, and he spoke in tongues, and oh, yes. How could he do such a thing? They have no shame. No shame at all. Here's somebody who has no shame. It's George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. These people actually are murderers. They are murderers. I know you say, well, a president of the United States could not possibly be a murderer. Really? Well, the United States has brought other national leaders to account. Remember what happened after World War II? We took those Nazi leaders, gave them a trial, unfair trial, and hung or otherwise killed most of them. That's what we did. When we got Saddam Hussein, he got a trial, unfair as well. It was a foreordained conclusion. And he got the gallows. He was hung. Why is it that we can't hang our national leaders? Dick Cheney, George W. Bush. Now, I've heard so many of these Republicans, you know, from Ted Cruz to every one of them have said, that if they were given the chance, they would have voted to do just what Bush did. They would have also gone in and attacked Iraq and Saddam Hussein. Oh, yes, because the intelligence was there. The intelligence, they said, told us that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and was planning to use them in these mushroom clouds across America. Oh, it was Saddam Hussein. We thought he was going to do it. It was an intelligence failure. We had an intelligence failure, and so we went in under false intelligence. We in Great Britain went into Iraq, and it ended up with us killing over 500,000 Iraqis. Thousands of Americans lost limbs and were killed. But we did it because of an intelligence failure. Now, when a Republican, especially when I'm running for president, tells me that, well, I would have done it too. I can't blame George W. Bush. It was just an intelligence failure. I want to tell them, you don't have any intelligence. That's your problem. It was not an intelligence failure. It was a planned, concocted, conspiratorial plot. They knew we had intelligence, all right. We had intelligence that told us that Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction. It was a failure of policy. Their policy was, we're going to go in there, and we're going to invade. And we're going to take Saddam out, and we're going to take all of his oil. And they did. And they did. We invaded Iraq, and we took out Saddam Hussein, and we hung him, and we killed over 500,000 people, many children, many mothers, many grandmothers, grandfathers. They died at our hands. And we knew all along there was no intelligence failure. We created the intelligence. Our own intelligence people faked it. They faked it. And all these people are still hiding from it today.
Yeah, well, if I'd have known the same thing as George Bush, I know he was wrong. I know the intelligence was wrong, but he just believed in the intelligence, and he went ahead and did it.
I mean, come on, folks. Over 500,000 people dead? An intelligence failure. Well, why wasn't the head of the CIA taken out and lynched? He's given billions of dollars each year. And the head of the National Security Agency, they're given billions of dollars each year to give us the right intelligence. They had the right intelligence. They were told to lie about what they knew. Now, I'm going to prove it when we come back in just a minute. But they all know there was no intelligence failure. We had the intelligence. It said Saddam Hussein and Iraq have no weapons of mass destruction. Just like today, Iran has no weapons of mass destruction. 16 of America's intelligence agencies all have concurred. They have agreed that Iran has no weapons of mass destruction. Now, I don't care how much that filthy liar Netanyahu tells you that they have them. They don't. It's to his advantage to get you to believe in his lies. And it was Bush and Cheney's advantage to give all their pals, the Carlyle Group and all the other groups, all the other oil groups, all that oil. Iraq is one of the world's greatest oil powers. So Saddam Hussein was just out of luck. No one would believe him because they wanted his oil. And they were going to get it. And they did get it. But they needed to pay for what they did. They're crooks. They're criminals. They're murderers.
How many times can I say it? I'll be right back, folks, right after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Have you ever wondered exactly why Israel was able to take Palestine in 1948 just to go in there and steal it? Who were the Israelis? Where did they come from? Well, I have a book that'll tell you exactly what happened. In 1948, Polish communists claimed to be Jews, but they were not. They had Polish names, every one of them. And they fell under the authority of Joseph Stalin and the Russian Kremlin. They were Stalinists, they were Leninists, and they were Khazarians. Khazarians. Now that's a nation that existed for hundreds of years in southern Russia. And then finally Russia took it over it, but the people there converted to Judaism. And they migrated to places like Hungary, Estonia, and especially Poland. And there they learned all about the Jewish Talmud and the forces of Babylon and all the magic of the Kabbalah and all of that. And they told each other we're Jews. And they got to believing over hundreds of years that they actually were racially Jews. Well, that'd sort of be like a Japanese coming to your state, whether it's Tennessee or Florida or Montana, coming from Japan, going over there, and then claiming that they were English. You look at the guy and say, "You look Japanese to me." "Oh no, I'm from England." "Well, you sure don't look English." "Well, yeah, I'm from England." But you know he's Japanese. He's living in Florida or Tennessee or Mississippi. But he claims to be English. It can get very confusing. Well, these were Khazarians, but they went to live in Poland. Now, they didn't say we're Polish, but they said we're Jews because their religion was of Judaism. Now, there are a lot of people living in America whose religion is Christianity. They come from all over, from Kenya, from Uganda in Africa. They come from Iran and Somalia. They come from, you know, Germany and Italy. They come to America and they claim we're Christian. Well, good for them. Praise God. But they don't say I'm Italian, but now I'm Christian, because Christianity is not a race. But the Jews are a race. Now, the Poles, who were Khazarians, but living in Poland for hundreds of years, they said we're Jews, but they were not racially Jews, just like the Japanese who come to America are not racially English or Italian or Germans either, are they? They're American Japanese. Well, these were Polish Khazarians. But because they practiced Judaism, they said we're a Jew. And the problem is Judaism is such a confusing hodgepodge of nonsense. It's not really a religion at all. It's a satanic hodgepodge. But people who convert to Judaism, and Marilyn Monroe did so, and black entertainers have become Jews. Now, they can say, "I'm racially a Jew too." "Really? You sure look black to me." But, you know, that's what they say. In fact, there are many groups in the world, in Africa, claiming to be Jews. They're black, though. There are brown-skinned people in India. They claim to be Jews, too. But these Polish Khazarians, who were on top of everything, communists, in 1948 were given permission by America and by the Soviet Union, that is Russia, that is, of course, Joseph Stalin. They were given all the weapons they would need, tanks, guns, etc., and they were injected into the Middle East. They were put into the Middle East. It would be just like Japanese coming over and living next door to you. Now, what if Japan had given them all the arms to kill you and take your land? Think about that. If the Japanese had been given the arms, tanks, guns, armored vehicles, etc., and moved into, say, Oklahoma, and they were told to take Oklahoma for themselves. Well, you know, the Sooners, the people down in Oklahoma wouldn't like that very much, would they? I think they would be fighting it. Well, that's what the Palestinians have been doing. For all these years, ever since 1948, when these fake Jews came in there, they've been fighting it. They want to keep their land. They've owned it for hundreds of years. Now, Oklahoma's only been a state since 1907. 1907, Oklahoma became a state. In 1907, the Palestinians were living right there in peace. In 1948, in comes these Khazarians that were not even Jews, that were from Poland, who had Polish names and couldn't even speak the Jewish language, the Hebrew language. They didn't know anything. They were Polish. In fact, the very first prime minister of so-called Israel was a Polish man. As a matter of fact, every single prime minister of since 1948 of Israel has been from Poland, except Benjamin Netanyahu. His father was from Poland. Oh, but we really can't even say he's from Israel because he was educated in the United States, up in Massachusetts. That's why he speaks such good English. He's not Jewish at all. And if he was Jewish, he still wouldn't have the kingdom. He wouldn't have Israel because Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew told the Jews, the kingdom of God is taken away from you and given to another nation, which will bear the fruits thereof. Now, Jesus said, the kingdom is taken from you. And I have all these Christians out there who are liars who say, they still have the kingdom. They still have the old covenant. Oh, they're the chosen people. But Jesus says, no, you're not. And John the Baptist, when they told him they were of Abraham, they were true Israelites. He said, what? John the Baptist said, listen, you're not so special. If God wanted to, he could make these stones out there. He could make Israelites out of these stones. That makes you feel a little bit bad. I'm special. Yeah, you're just as dumb as a stone. You're dumb as a rock. That's basically what he told them. Or you'd know you're not true Jews. You're of the synagogue of Satan. That's what Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 tells them. Now these Christians come out there and say, no, they're wonderful people. Listen to them. We've got to defend them. They've got to come first. The Jews. And you'll be blessed by God if you make them the top thing in your life. And who are they talking about? Now, my book explains about DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. It tells you they're not Jews. And I've got scientific proof of it. I've got the scientists who know DNA who say it's not true. They're not Jews. What are you going to do about that, folks? Are you going to say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to go right on pretending. I'm going to pretend that those Khazarians, those communists from Poland, really are Jews. You're going to continue the myth that they created that Joseph Stalin created in 1948. In 1948, Joseph Stalin told the Khazarians of Poland, you can go and take the Middle East. You can go in and take Israel. All you have to do is go down there and kill a bunch of Palestinians. And hey, we communists are good at killing. We're good. We've killed tens of millions here in Russia. Go down there and kill a few million. I mean, the fact that they only have about 800,000 Palestinians. Don't you know what happened? Don't you know what happened, friends? My book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, will tell you the truth. It's the only book out there like it. I mean, the Jews must be doing flip-flops. They're hating me so much because I wrote a truthful book. I actually quote the Jewish scientists themselves, Dr. Eran Elhike, Dr. Ariella Oppenheim. I show you what their research proves. Jews are not Jews. They're Khazarians. They didn't have the land. They never owned the land. They've been from Russia and then from Poland. They'd have no connection with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No connection at all. Folks, wake up. You've been in a trance all these years as a Christian. You've been lied to. I want you to know the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. As in the Gospel of John, the truth will make you free. Discover the truth about the Jews, so-called. Paul said the Jews, that is not because of the circumcision. That's not because of their blood. That's not what makes a Jew. You've got to understand, Paul himself was a Jew. He would know Jews, wouldn't he? But there, the Gospel of John, read in the book of Revelation. That's the best. Revelation 2 and 3. The synagogue of Satan. Now, your pastor, if you ask him what the synagogue of Satan is, he'll just go white. Even if he's a black man, he'll go white. He'll run from you as fast as he can. And as he's going out the door, holler to him, well, here it is in Revelation 2, 9. Here it is again in Revelation 3, verse 9. What does that mean, synagogue of Satan? Hey, brother, I got to go to a prayer meeting. I'll see you later. I'll talk to you about this someday, maybe in 2098 or something. I'll talk to you about the Khazarian things. Don't believe any of that stuff now. I know it's history and I know it's DNA science, but don't believe any of it. Okay. DNA science and the Jewish bloodline. For your gift of $20, just $20, find out the truth for $20, plus $5 shipping and handling. $25, all you have to do is phone us toll-free 1-800-234-9673. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. You can buy the book there, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. You can go to Amazon.com, too. Buy the book there if you have to. I'd prefer you come to our ministry because we really need the financial help. By the way, when you're donating or giving to a cause, think about Power of Prophecy. We're one of the only ministries in the world that have the guts, the courage to tell you the facts, the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he said that he took the kingdom from the Jews. He took the kingdom from the Jews. I know Jerry Falwell and John Hagee and Billy Graham's son, Franklin, and all of them will tell you, no, the Jews are still in charge. They're at the top. Oh, boy. They don't even listen to the words of Jesus. They don't care about the words of Jesus. They'll lie to you, too, because it keeps money coming in. They'll say, if you bless the Jews, God will bless you. Give us money. Give us money, because we bless the Jews. No, they don't. They don't preach to the Jews. They don't attempt to change the souls of the Jews. They just tell them how great they are. You're chosen. Oh, you're wonderful. God's not going to bless that. God's not going to bless that. And he's going to hold you, my friend, he's going to hold you responsible if you lie like that. If you lie and say, yes, the Jews are God's chosen people, God's going to punish you. Yes, you. Don't try to escape it. You're going to be punished for that. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We return now to our program. We've got some secrets here. We got a lot of, we got to go fast. So much to do. Hey, Stephen Walt, professor of Harvard, one of America's top professors, said this. He says, quote, the war in Iraq was a failure of policy, not intelligence. The Bush administration decided to topple Saddam Hussein and then concocted a bogus case to justify war. Blaming bad intelligence is just a smokescreen. The war's architects and cheerleaders now employ to evade blame for the debacle. When they say, oh, it was an intelligence failure, tell them, well, you believe that intelligence. You're an idiot. You're a jackass. Give us another candidate. We don't want to hear you anymore. We don't want you as our senator, certainly not our president. You believe that stuff. You believed in the intelligence failure. Actually, they didn't believe it at all. Now, that's what they've come up with. They're trying to evade the debacle. Stephen Walt, Professor Walt, says, at that time, 33 security experts pointed out, that's the September 2002 New York Times, they warned that an invasion could, quote, spread instability in the Middle East. They noted, quote, we have no exit strategy. Do you get that? An invasion will spread instability in the Middle East. What do we have now? Instability in the Middle East. It's falling apart. Everything is going nuts over there. With the ISIS caliphate and this one fighting that one and this one fighting that one and nobody knowing. Did the Al-Qaeda ever exist? Probably not. Instability everywhere. Hey, did you hear about old Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina? Boy, isn't he an unabashed supporter of Israel? He's a nut. By the way, he is gay. He's gay. He's queer. And with that little voice of his, Lindsey Graham says that he wants to be president of the United States. He wants to be president of the United States. Well, he won't be the first homosexual we've had, will he? To show you how controlled he is by Israel, I want to give you his own words from Lindsey Graham now. Quote, if I put together a finance team that will make me financially competitive enough to stay in this thing, I may have the first all-Jewish cabinet in America because of the pro-Israel funding. And he chuckles. Ha, ha, ha. Let me say that again. Where he's getting his money from, of course, is these Jewish billionaires. They know he's absolutely insane for Israel. And there's never been a war that he didn't support. Never been a cause that he didn't believe American troops ought to go in or send nuclear bombs or something. The guy's an absolute warmonger. He's nuts. But listen to what he says. I may have the first all-Jewish cabinet in America because of the pro-Israel funding. Bottom line is, said Lindsey Graham, I've got a lot of support from the pro-Israel funding. Now, Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Joe Lieberman, according to my good friend Jonas Alexis at Veterans Today, they used to be called the Three Amigos. Because they all believe that, well, Saddam Hussein really had nuclear bombs and he had chemical weapons. And we had to go in there and get rid of him. And now we had to go get Ahmadinejad too. Ahmadinejad, he's going to take the whole world. He's going to start up concentration camps again. And they could just smell. They said, I smell the crematoria. I smell the horrible odor of Ahmadinejad. They were wrong. Ahmadinejad is not even president anymore. He lost the election. How can a dictator lose the election? Well, he did. Well, let's see what else we got here for you. General Douglas MacArthur, you know, my good friend Val, up in Canada, sent me something interesting. He sent me a wonderful message that was given by General Douglas MacArthur in Houston, Texas. Now, General MacArthur would be court-martialed today. Why? Did you know what that man said? Jerry, have you ever heard about this? General Douglas MacArthur. I mean, that one of the greatest generals of all time. But you know what? We can't have people in the military like this. He gave a sermon, not a sermon, but it was, well, almost. His talk was entitled, The Cross and the Flag. Our greatest hope, said General Douglas MacArthur, rests on two mighty symbols, the cross and the flag. Now, we have officers getting court-martialed today for that. In fact, I just read about an Army sergeant, a young lady, who was court-martialed. She got kicked out of the service. Do you know why? She had a Bible verse, and she typed it out, I guess, and put it on her desk. And they said, you got to get rid of that. That's very divisive. She said, I can't get rid of that. That's God's word. Oh no, the other people in the office, everybody will get mad at you. You can't do that. That's a terrible thing to say. She says, well, it's in the Old Testament. They said, you got to get rid of it. Get rid of it. She refused. This girl refused. She was a terrible person. You know what it said, Jerry? It said, no weapon shall prosper against you. No weapon shall prosper against you. That's in the Old Testament. Do you know that? You know, a lot of people have sent me that. They said, Tex, you're going up against a lot of very powerful forces. You're going up against the Jews. You're going up against the liberals up in Washington, D.C. Do you know what? I mean, you know, well, look at today's program. I took on the Pope, the President, all these big wigs. Many people say they're going to kill you, Tex. They're going to kill you eventually. But I have read that. But other people send me that same quote, that same verse that young lady had in the military. No weapon will prosper against you. And I believe that. Listen, Christian friend, I know many people out there that have been vanquished, defeated. They're in prison today. They were murdered. They were assassinated. And quite often, they didn't have Jesus in their hearts. They tried to take on this huge mess, this giant global conspiracy, without Jesus Christ. You can't do that. You see, I feel safe. I don't worry. You know, the Bible says, fear not. Don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and the soul. They can kill my body. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. Listen, enemy, you can kill my body, but your weapon won't prosper. No, it won't prosper against me. I can guarantee you right now. This lady had it right. She was in the military. And she had a verse, and that verse meant something to her. No weapon is going to prosper against you. Evidently, she was claiming that. That was what she was claiming. She said, this is scripture. I'm going to hold it for myself. Now, I don't know who the filthy, dirty military sergeant and then officer, and then it went all the way up to her commanding officer, and they court-martialed and threw her out of service. She's not defeated to this day. She may have been court-martialed. That girl is a winner. That girl is a winner. And Douglas MacArthur's he's not in his grave. I suspect he's in heaven too. But here he is, the cross and the flag. Now the generals are all told not to give talks like that anymore. You can't talk about the cross. Hey, you can't even really talk about the flag nowadays. They're taking the flag out of everywhere. And the National Football League is making the military services pay for even having these symbols up before the games. You can't even show a Marine getting an award or standing there before the flag because they got to pay the National Football League millions of dollars for the privilege. That just came out recently. Boy, they've been trying to hide that one, haven't they? Those filthy devils at the National Football League. I don't care if this man beats his wife and you allow him to play. That's a horrible thing. I mean, get rid of those people. But listen, the whole NFL is evil. When I say I don't care, I don't care what your policy is. You agonize and cry, and you don't know whether he's going to be missing four games or kicked out of football. Who cares? The guy's an evil person who beat his wife or his girlfriend. Get rid of the guy. But I see what you really are. You're not a patriot. You're showing these military symbols. They mean nothing to you. The American flag means nothing to you. Well, the cross and the flag. Two mighty symbols. You notice Douglas MacArthur, he didn't shortchange either symbol. He knew a military officer had to love the flag, but he also must love the cross. Paul said, nothing means anything to me except the cross. Hey, remember that German jet that went down? It was flown by the pilot Andreas Lubitz, the German. While his co-pilot went to the bathroom, he locked the door. And then he put the controls of the aircraft, aimed it so that the airplane would fly right into a cliff. I forget how many people he killed, almost 200, maybe 176. They didn't deserve to die. They didn't know they were going to die when they took that aircraft. Andreas Lubitz. Who was this guy? Well, I've found out some information you'd like to know about, friends. You must know about. Andreas Lubitz, it turns out, was a homosexual. He was a queer. They talked about his lover, his supposedly girlfriend. That's what I was led to believe. He had a girlfriend. But he really was a boy friend that he had. That's what he had. Now, that German airline knew this man was a homosexual. And homosexuals are reprobates. They're of a divided mind. They're double-minded. And they sent all of these people to their death. Friends, if you know that the pilot, I know we don't know much about the pilots who fly us around, but if you know that your pilot of the aircraft you're going to be on is a homosexual, I'm telling you, Vince, you're taking a chance. That's a risk. That's flammable. That's dangerous. Because he may do something crazy like Andreas Lubitz, homosexual. Didn't mind killing those people at all. And himself. Well, have you ever heard of the child rape assembly line? Oh, my. This is going on across the world, but especially in the United States. It seems that in cities across the United States, Jewish cults, that's what they are, they're really of the Jewish religion, rabbis are abusing little boys. I've got a story here about Rabbi Rosenberg. He's the only whistleblower of the Satmar, a powerful Orthodox Jewish sect. Now, recently, Rabbi Rosenberg was hospitalized. He was walking down the street, and somebody ran up to him, tapped him on the back, and Rabbi Rosenberg turned around, and the man threw a bucket of bleach right on his head. It blinded him. It burned terribly. He was hospitalized. They thought he was going to be blind. You see, they were angry because he had seen something. Rabbi Rosenberg is the only whistleblower in the Jewish religion that is now blowing the whistle over rabbis who are abusing little boys. Rabbi Rosenberg told his story. I've got it here. He says there is a child rape assembly line among fundamentalist Jews. Now, this is going to be graphic, what I'm going to tell you, my friend. He says, when he went to Jerusalem in 2005, he entered to do his mikvah. That's his ritual of taking a holy bath. Yeah. They have all these bathhouses. And they're pedophile bathhouses, but you may not know it. He went in there to do his mikvah, so-called. Here's what he says. I opened the door. Vapors were everywhere. I could barely see. My eyes adjusted, and I saw an old man, my age, that's 63, with long white hair, a holy-looking man who I later discovered was a rabbi, sitting in the vapors. On his lap, facing away from him, is a little boy, maybe 7 years old, and the old man is having anal sex with this little boy. Well, I'm not going to tell you what Rabbi Rosenberg did, but it turned into a lot of trouble there, you see, because the Orthodox Jews don't want anyone to know that many of their rabbis are pedophiles. Terrible. Just terrible. This is the trouble. The religion of Judaism is evil. Evil! 7-year-old boy, 63-year-old man. A Jewish rabbi. He lashed at the rabbi. How could you do that to the little boy? But the rabbi lashed back to him. How dare you interrupt me? What? How dare you interrupt me? And then Rabbi Rosenberg found out when he went to the police that he could do nothing. They laughed at him. He could do nothing. They know about this. They know what's going on in Jerusalem all the time in the bathhouses. It's going on in New York City, in Brooklyn. It's going on in Chicago, in Detroit, in Baltimore, everywhere. The Jewish cult, Judaism, the raping of little boys, and the cover-up of it. Lord God, have mercy on these evil men. I'm Tex Morris. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.